Karen Middleton, thank you for your patience in Canberra. Now, staying with power, your Prime Minister has come out with a plan this morning ahead of Glasgow. This had been causing quite some stress and distress in some quarters. Could you just brief us on it, please?
Yeah, well, there's a bit of criticism around about it. It came out yesterday, actually, and it's been the result of, well, decades of angst on the part of the coalition parties here, but a week of angst internally with the Nationals, who are the rural-based party, who have the strongest objections to setting targets and reducing emissions in any way that might damage both the farm sector and the mining sector. The Prime Minister is sort of seeking to be all things to all people, so he's come out with a target of net zero by 2050, which is what he's been under pressure by the United States and the United Kingdom to reach. But he says he's going to do it without reducing the output of the farm sector and the mining sector. No jobs lost, no energy prices rising, no problem. So some people are sort of saying it sounds a little magic pudding-ish, but there's a lot of emphasis on new technologies. There's emphasis on electric vehicles, which at the time of the last federal election, when the Labor Party put out a policy advocating for electric vehicles, the government said it would end the weekend and ruin and take everybody's utes and that sort of thing. Well, now they've converted to that. Ultra low cost solar, a lot of emphasis on carbon capture and storage, which is a sort of not fully tested method of sequestering carbon in the earth, and other technologies as yet unknown. So there is a little bit of sort of hope in this policy as opposed to fine detail. They put out initially a sort of a PowerPoint presentation, then a leaflet. This is all through the course of a press conference yesterday. And then at the end of the press conference, they posted online a 124-page detailed version of the plan. But it still doesn't really go to a huge amount of detail on exactly how this would be achieved. And one of the other issues is that the government is not updating the target that it's set after the Paris United Nations climate meeting, which was 26% to 28% reduction in emissions compared with 2005 levels by 2030. So there's a lot of international pressure for countries to increase their 2030 targets. Australia's not going to do that because the government says we're going to meet and beat that target anyway. So why set a new target? I think that may not go down terribly well when he goes to Glasgow. He's leaving Australia on Thursday to go to the G20 in Rome and then on to the Glasgow UN climate meeting. I think there might be some disappointment that there's no 2030 target. But, you know, to be fair, it is an achievement to at least be setting and acknowledging that we need to have a target, pardon me, for 2050. It's just a question of exactly how we're going to get there. And that's still a little unclear. And the modelling is also not been released just yet.
Does it appease, do you think, some of the critics on the we are simply not doing enough side? Or does it open up critics on the other side?
Well, this is the question, I guess, whether he manages to appease enough of all the people to sort of get away with this version that doesn't inflict any pain on the fossil fuel industry, or whether the critics will still be the critics. And now some in the conservative ranks of his own constituency might say, well, you've gone too far. So it's a difficult political equation for the Prime Minister to try and sort of meet all those people in the middle somehow. He's trying to avoid losing constituents to the parties on the further left, like Labor and the Greens, people in his own constituency who are disappointed that the coalition hasn't done enough, but also doesn't want parties on the right, people on the right, I should say, to abandon him to hard-line right-wing parties like the One Nation Party with Pauline Hanson, particularly in rural areas in parts of Queensland where there are some seats at risk, because he's got an election coming up. We don't know exactly when that will be, but it will be sometime between now and next May. He keeps on saying it'll be next year. There has been some speculation it might be earlier. But he's got a difficult challenge to try and sort of get everybody on board with this, convince the people who think we should do more that the coalition is now committed, and convince the people that we definitely shouldn't, that it isn't committed too much. I wish him luck.
Indeed. Also, today in your neck of the woods, what's the story with the casino and a probation for one of the giants?
Yeah, so I think we've spoken about Crown Resorts before. It runs the big casino in Melbourne and at South Bank, and it's been in a bit of hot water with governments across Australia in the last year or two. It's facing royal commissions in Victoria and in Western Australia, and the Victorian Royal Commission has now handed down its finding in a whopping 600-plus page report and basically said it's unfit to hold a licence. However, it hasn't gone as far as to shut them down. It has let them continue for the next 2 years on a sort of probation with a new casino regulator, a kind of casino police officer, keeping an eye on its activities. But it's basically said, in quite damning language, the Commissioner Raymond Finkelstein has said that its conduct was, quote, variously illegal, dishonest, unethical and exploitative, unquote. And so they, even though they hold these concerns, they also hold concerns for the Victorian state economy around Melbourne if the casino is unilaterally shut down suddenly. So they're letting it continue, giving it 2 years to improve its activities. I mean, it's been accused of allowing itself to be involved in money laundering. You know, it's been criticised for its practice of flying in high rollers and the kinds of things that go on there. So it will be watched effectively for 2 years. And it's high profile, significant owner, James Packer, there's been a recommendation that he be required to sell down his 37% stake to under 5% within the next 3 years. So, you know, some significant recommendations, but I guess, a very big rap on across the knuckles, but not so much as to shut the thing down for the next couple of years. But they're very much being given a second chance.
Now, this case for a little missing girl has completely captured headlines, of course, as well as being terribly distressing for family. And are we learning any more about the police search and the circumstances?
Well, we hear bits and pieces in recent days. The police are still searching for 4-year-old Cleo Smith. She's disappeared up in the area around Carnarvon in northwest of Western Australia, where she lives with her parents. They went camping some, I think, 70 kilometres from Carnarvon over a weekend, and she disappeared from her tent, the tent she was sharing with her parents. Now, there are some terrible echoes, I guess, here of the disappearance of Azaria Chamberlain almost 5 decades ago in the outback in central Australia near Uluru. You might remember that famous story. Lindy Chamberlain, her mother, was jailed for murder, even though the baby's body was never found. And then that conviction was quashed, and the ultimate decision was that, or the view was that it was probably a dingo that took the baby. Now, I don't think anyone's talking about a dingo here, but the police have ruled out the parents, apparently, and now talking about a white vehicle that was seen in the vicinity of the camping area and driving away at about 3 o'clock in the morning on the night that she disappeared. So they do seem to have a few leads, but there is a great mystery around how a little 4-year-old could be removed if she was removed from her tent with her sleeping bag. It was said that the zip on the tent was found up higher than the little girl could have reached. So it's a mystery. It has transfixed people, a lot of great distress, and we do hope she's found soon.
Thank you. Always appreciated. Karen Middleton, our correspondent from Canberra.